Backchat Studios is a part of the Acast Creator Network. Head to backchatpodcast.com.au to sign up as a patron and access all of our merch.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Backchat Basketball Show back again for another episode. Hello at backchatpodcast.com.au or backchat_basketball on Instagram is where a couple of places you can get in contact with us. Ben Malice is in Melbourne and we're hanging out. We're both wearing white t-shirts. We've got our Backchat Basketball Show uniform on. Good to see that you got the memo on that.
It is. I'm living in Richmond at the moment, so I feel like I need to up my game and go with the clean white shirt. So I've done my washing today. I'm back in Melbourne, and you survived the traffic in Perth. So for our listeners, I think you need to describe the horror that is the Perth freeways.
Oh, it's brutal. Driving from the inner city to out to the northern burbs. Today, well, look, when this gets uploaded, it'll be Friday morning, Good Friday. So hopefully, you know, this will provide a bit of comfort to those who might be traveling, doing a bit of a drive down south, up north, to the west, east, wherever you're going. The traffic on the Thursday afternoon, it was like, you know, last day of school, last day of work for a lot of people. I was driving about 4 p.m. and it was pretty chaotic. So I'm glad I made it pretty safely. We have a bit to chat through. Obviously, NBL's well and truly finished and now the free agency period has begun. There's been some movement. There's been a few signings, which we'll get to soon. And then we can, you know, I'll probably have a 10-minute, what do we call it, like a psych session with you, Ben, while
we'll
I
open
just...
the Maverick safe space and we'll allow you in.
Yeah.
Consider my virtual couch and we can vent with the pink pillow.
Look,
I'm here for you.
We'll get there. I'm just – every day is tougher. Honestly,
the silver lining is you've only got 3 more games and the season's over and then you get to reassign Kyrie for 4 years. So we said we're not going to get into Mavs talk because I find it very seductive, but we'll get there. At the end of the episode.
We'll get there. Let's talk NBL straight off the bat. So since Greg and I chatted last week on the show, there was not really any movement. I think Travers was probably the only big name that had been you know, we didn't even know where he was signing and we still don't know where he's signing, but he's obviously left the Perth Wildcats for bigger and better things. Potentially, you know, Sydney and Melbourne have been thrown around. I've heard like a Euro League team potentially, like if he's going to go get paid somewhere. I think he probably stays in the NBL. The tinfoil hat thing that I had last week for Greg was that he's going to sign with Sydney and that the Sydney brass have been feeding journalists, you know, information so that they didn't spruik that and they didn't, you know, let anyone think that he was going to go to Sydney and it was going to be a last minute thing. Honestly, that's still on the cards. The more and more I hear, it's probably a Melbourne team. But then there's also the possibility that he goes rogue and he gets some advice from management where he's like ends up in Illawarra. Or Adelaide, or something rogue. At the end of the day, I think he is thinking long term, and he wants to be in the NBA, and he wants to make a decision that's going to get him closely and put himself in the best position possible to get the NBA. And I can't fault him for that. If that's not the Wildcats, he should definitely move on. I would be, for me as a Wildcats, I wouldn't say a fan, but someone who's been following Wildcats for a long time. I want Luke Travers to play in the NBA, and if it means that he has to leave the Wildcats and go on to something else, that's what I want for him.
Yeah, I heard you and Greg speak last week, and it's one of those situations where what's best for the player and Luke doesn't 100% line up with what is best for the Wildcats at the moment, because we'll get onto the Pinder news in a minute, but the Wildcats needed someone that they could sign and point to and address some of the gaps they had in their roster last year. Whereas Travers, from his end, again, me and you are just nuffies on the outside at the moment. We're just procrastinating and talking, but it seems like he wants to slow this down and get himself into a spot that's going to allow him to get closer to the NBA, or if not the NBA, his ceiling, wherever that sits in the basketball world. So I think when you step back and remove Perth from the situation, you can see a young player that wants to spread his wings. Some of those cliche things actually apply here.
Yeah.
But again, I think the proof's going to be in the pudding, because again, your conspiracy Dan theory about him ending up in Sydney, again, if he was to end up in Sydney, the proof is in the pudding there as well. That they've proven they can get players to the NBA consistently, even the same with the Melbourne teams. And we've spoken about this before, you and I, that being on the East Coast where I am now, it's just a more attractive sell than being in Perth for NBA caliber players because of the proximity to home, the bigger markets, the more money, everything that's going on. And so again, hopefully Travis can find the spot, and the Wildcats fans won't want to see this, I think some of them, but it would be cool if he's averaging a triple-double next year and really balling out, because if he does that, the truth is he was going to be out of the NBL very quickly. So
yeah,
I think that's the other thing. He was always going to leave Perth, whether that's for Europe or the Cavaliers or the G League. He was not going to be a 10-year Perth player.
No.
And the door's always open for him to come home. And as I'm sure we'll get onto soon, the guy they've got in to not replace him, but the marquee name they got to sweep the news away last week, is going to help them a lot next year.
Yeah, for sure. And obviously he wants to – the Wildcats have a very ball-dependent backcourt in Bryce Cotton. And, you know, as we hear more and more, it's probably looking closer that, you know, they'll have gone completely blank.
Corey Webster,
exactly, return. And so between those two, the ball's in their hand a lot, and they need that in order for those two players to succeed. Corey Webster is a bit more, can play off the ball and catch and shoot and stuff. But, you know, if you have those two and then maybe a big that they want to feed in that Keanu Pinder or someone like in the pick and roll sort of system, Luke Travers really just almost doesn't fit, really. Like, he can do a lot of things, but he's not going to flourish to be that man, like the guy that he needs to be able to show that he can do for an NBA caliber team. The Cavs. I mean, he's still technically signed with the Cavs.
Yeah, the Cavs have his right for a few years.
So the Cavs have his right. So the Cavs want to see, look, can we trust you to be that guy? You can't be the third, fourth tier guy on an NBL team and come into our system. So they need to see that he can do what he can do. And that's obviously not at the Wildcats. So, you know, honestly, I hope he does really great things. And like you said, see where his ceiling is at. You know, Dante Exum, for example, didn't quite hit those strides that we thought he might in the NBA, and now is like incredible playing in the EuroLeague, in the Spanish League. So maybe he's just one of those guys who floats around and plays in really good leagues for his career, and that's a really good result for him.
You make lots of money, you travel around the world, and the Dante Exum point is interesting. It's a very good point to make, because I was covering the NBA when Dante stormed in. He was a 19-year-old that got himself into America, and it was too much too soon, and then the injuries hit, and he's had to go to Europe to find pretty much what we're talking about here with Travers, 20 minutes, 30 minutes a night, consistently, a consistent role where he's getting the opportunities to actually make his mistakes and learn his skill set and develop consistency in a routine and a rotation for a team that's actually trying to compete for something, which Dante just couldn't have that time in the States.
Yeah.
And you look at him now, he's going to get a cup of coffee with the NBA again before his career's done.
Oh, 100%.
He's got the pedigree, he's got the experience, he's got the athleticism, and he's proven now that he can play for a couple of years without catastrophic injuries hitting. And again, you contrast him with someone like Joe Ingles, didn't even hit the NBA until his late 20s. So, and it links back to Travis as well. There is still plenty of time, yet at the same time, you need to make your mark when the striking is hot. And again, Travis has been picked up by the Cavs, and like you say, they have his rights. And the pathway is either to get these minutes here in Australia and play that role, or to go over to the G League and do it. And again, we both know that life in the G League is not as exciting as it sounds. It's flying coach, it's on the bus, it's going to all these small cities. So doing it in Australia makes sense. And you're right, the best role for Travers on the Wildcats next year is that third option on offense that's doing all the little thing that's making the gaps fit. That's great if you've got a 30-year-old journeyman, someone like our friend Greg Heyer, who's at the later stages of his career and isn't gunning for the NBA, but it just doesn't correlate to what's best for Travers the player, because he needs to get out of Perth and spread his wings. And you're right, you want the ball in Bryce Cotton's hands and Webster if he comes back. And you've got Pinder on the inside now, who his defense is rebounding, and he's going to give that team something they haven't had for at least 2 years, which is a great pick-and-roll threat, like you say, a lob man. Yeah. And you can just imagine a Webster-Pinder pick-and-roll with just Cotton chilling on the weak side. is going to accelerate that offense in a different way. It might not reach the heights that it did last year, but you're still going to get great offense, and defensively the Wildcats might actually be able to stop someone next year, which is what they need to do to win championships again.
Yeah, that's right. And something that Greg mentioned last week, and probably more on me for not really realizing, but Zabe Cooks is 27 going on 28. You know, he's not a 22-year-old that got picked up by an NBA team. You know, he's put in some hard work over playing professionally for years. And I think that's a good thing for Travis to see. Look, it doesn't, you know, you don't need a hit when you're 22, 21 in order to be considered for an NBA talent. Like, for all we know, Zave Cooks might live on a NBA roster for the next 6 years, you know, and that's incredible. That's a huge effort to do what he's done. So yeah. Travis has to be able to look at that and be like, okay, maybe I'm not going to be a rotation guy at the Cleveland Cavaliers when I'm 23, but if I keep doing what I'm doing, it's been shown and it's happened before me that that can happen at a later age. And like you said, with Joe Ingles, now with Dante Exum, like, I think we're just so used to being like, they're 20-year-old, they're great, they play a year in college, then they end up in the NBA and they're like Donovan Mitchell or whatever. You know, it's not the same pathway for everyone.
No, and that's it from an NBA fan, right, which is what you are and I am. Yeah. But again, that's different to people that are just NBL-centric fans, because there's almost a catch-22. The better the NBL gets in terms of better players and high-caliber athletes, that the more you attract those players down here, the more they're willing to leave for bigger and better opportunities because they have them. You remember the chat we had last year with Brady Manick. We flat out told us, like, his aim for his career is to make as much money as he can, quickly as he can. And frankly, he has the ability to do that, same as Travis, to make millions of dollars every year. Whereas the average NBL player 10, 15 years ago, they didn't have that opportunity anywhere in the world. So the thought of leaving, or the thought of having to leave from Perth to go to Melbourne, to use that as a stepping stone to get to Sydney, then get to Washington, like, that's a completely new pathway for Australian-level athletes that have NBA-level talents. And it sucks for Perth fans specifically, but Travis is probably the latest test case of that happening for a local athlete, where it's time for these guys to graduate from their first NBL opportunity to move on to the next one. And as well, the Cooks point is interesting, right? Because it also shows that when you have opportunities, you need to take them. Because you look at the NBA, the Washington Wizards are one of the most poorly run franchises there are. They spend less money than most franchises. They're perennial, can never say that word right, underachievers. Yep. But Cooks got the opportunity to go, and you have to go and take that opportunity and that if you get the chance. And the same thing to put a bow on Travis. He's got the Cavs' interest. He's got them to commit that second-round pick. And to be frank, if they're telling him to get out of Perth, I don't know if they are or not, but very simply, if they are, it's time for him to make that move and accelerate his career.
For sure. The whole you should move out of Perth, I'm still unsure if that's Wildcats spin, where they're just like, look, we weren't, you know, maybe the Wildcats organization just hasn't been running as well as Luke Travers would have liked. And he's like, I'm getting out of here. And it makes sense for the Wildcats to go, look, you know, he's been told to get out of Perth for various reasons. It's nothing on us. It's all for his, you know, future endeavors. So I think things will come out. I've seen some tweets recently from a former player that doesn't paint the Wildcats front office in the best light. But look, I think everyone's got their own sort of point of view and their own take on that. But at the end of the day, like, this is. And the good thing about from the fans' point of view is that I think everyone's on Travis' side. Like, no one's going to, if he plays for Sydney next year, he's not going to get booed or you know, Melbourne, whatever. He's not going to come over to Perth and get harassed. I think people, it's a good story. You know, he's from Rocco. He grew up in front of Wildcats fans. That whole cliche, like, you know,
it's the blueprint. I think it's the blueprint for what, not just the Perth NBL club, but all these NBL clubs should be selling this as their selling proposition, right? Come play basketball for these young men and women with the WNBL as well. We'll give you the training. We'll help you get drafted by the best leagues in the world. And when it's time to move on, for whatever reason, there could be a million of them. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing for them to develop and move on. And for the club as well, again, not just the Wildcats, but the league. The NBL, it's not like the AFL where you've got young draft picks and you can tank and have a bad year like our Eagles are trying to do at the moment and accelerate we'll have a fan podcast, but you can't do that in the NBL. No. Like, the reality is, if Bryce Cotton, don't wish this on him, but if he gets injured tomorrow and is out for a season, the Wildcats' trajectory of their team is over and they don't have anything to be rewarded for having a bad year. Their season is just done.
Yeah.
And on the flip side,
no draft.
Correct. So it impacts things outside the basketball court to see a young player leave, but on the basketball court, again, most people, when you look at Travers versus Pinder's skill set, Pinder is a better NBL player right now. He's going to be a better player next year. So the Wildcats, it's not this simple, but if it's one in, one out, they've actually done better on the court. But it's hard to decouple the emotions and the storyline. And like you said, here's this kid made good from Rockingham, which me and you know what that's like, right? And so it's emphasised. And I think Fringe fans don't fully comprehend that there's a big picture at play. Yeah. But again, hopefully the Wildcats, for everyone's sake in Perth, start winning games next year. And we know what happened then. If they start winning and they're in the top four and things are good, life will be good and the stresses will go away.
Exactly, yeah. And last thing on the Travis thing, like you said, with bringing Pinder in, and we could talk about that now, is like the biggest hole in the Wildcats team I'd say since like Angus Brandt and Nick Kay were there, like they haven't been able to rebound, defend, and they've been able to score and beat teams like on the scoreboard in that sense. But the biggest issue for them has been that interior defense, someone who can roll to the rim, someone who can get offensive rebounds and do that dirty work inside. And Keanu Pinder is shown to be that he can be that guy. And I think fans are really excited about him.
Yeah, you're right. Not since Nick Kay have the Wildcats had a big man, that has the skill set and just the upside that he has. And we can look at the easy ways of looking at that, right? Just go look at the box scores, the listeners out there, of what he's doing in Europe at the moment. He is tearing up what actually is the second best league in the world and doing that at a very high quality level, to a point a couple of weeks ago where there were valid concerns from NBL fans whether Pinder would be, again, graduating out of the NBL and going to play in Europe or actually trying to make the NBA himself. So it's great for Perth that he's decided to commit to the NBL for another year, because the Wildcats have someone that was playing at an MVP level last year. Now, again, his season was cut short at times because he wasn't able to get out there and play the minutes that he wanted to. But the Wildcats, like you say, they've got this big man now that addresses their biggest concern. Again, it's cliched stuff, but it simply applies. He's a good defender, a very good defender at level. He can rebound. He can move his feet. And on offense, it's going to look different, but I don't think they're going to lose an awful lot from a metrics point of view, like I said before, because they've got this elite big man now that can roll to the basket. He can pick and pop. He can use his athleticism inside. And you think about it for Bryce Cotton, when's the last time he played with a big man like that? Nick Kay had a great skill set, but it was slightly different to what Pinder brings to the table.
Yeah, so Nick Kay could pop and hit like jumpers and stuff like that and go out to the three. It is completely different, but there are some similar aspects to it as well.
Well, I think it's just having a big, this is so cliche and so like internet fan, but just having a big dude inside that can just muscle around is going to help unlock some different ways for that team to score.
People love block shots. Like it's an awesome thing to have someone on your team that can block shots, and it is awesome. Like I'm not like trying to diminish like general basketball fandom of blocking shots, but it's like you'd ask how many, if you went out to the fans and go, hey, what would you love to see the Wildcats be able to do? Oh, I'd love someone that could actually defend and block shots. And he's going to be able to do that. So anyways, let's move on a little bit from the Perth Wildcats. There has been Will McDowell-White, who had a great season with the New Zealand Breakers. His name was being flown around to quite a few clubs. One of them was the Perth Wildcats. I think he's got a really good connection with Keanu. And there was some talk that maybe he'd be bringing him over to Perth. But he's re-signed with the Breakers, and that's a really good get for them because, I mean, I saw from someone that I sort of respect a bit on Twitter saying that he's like almost NBA level. I don't think he's quite there, but he's definitely one of the best guards in the competition.
Yeah, McDowell-White, again, we know he had a great season last year. And he's a bit different to someone like Xavier Cooks because he doesn't scream NBA athlete when you look at him. He doesn't have that size and that athleticism, which probably means you're right. The ceiling for him as a player probably is an elite level European team if that's where he wants to go with his career. But him playing at the NBL, if he can back up what he did last season, again, in year two with New Zealand, and there's lots of reasons why they would hope that's to be the case, right? They're back home for the second year running. They're back with the same group. Again, they've got some cohesion. There's every chance that they could be another good team next year. And for them to probably sustain where they are, it's going to need another jump from McDowell-White. So he's definitely got the opportunity to do that in New Zealand. Like you, I heard all the rumours about him coming to Perth. He's actually got some family in Perth. So there are some reasons why, again, people got excited. But for him, and again, taking an agnostic view of the league, I think it is good that he stayed in New Zealand because,
yeah,
again, there are fears that teams like Illawarra and New Zealand and Cairns get their players raided by
the
bigger teams. Exactly. Yeah. And it becomes a feeder league. So in that sense, it's good that the Breakers came to the table and, from what I hear, matched the money that who's being offered around the league. So their ownership group has stepped up. They're paying someone that deserves the payday. And again, like we said for Travers, it's only a year because the way these leagues work and these contracts work, if he gets an NBA offer over the next 12 months, he'll be gone. If he gets the opportunity to go, he will. But it means New Zealand can build again. And again, we podcasted after all of the grand finals games. Both of us had a sweet spot for that New Zealand team. So it's a really cool story for them to get a second chance at it. And again, who doesn't love a redemption story? And let's hope they can get back to the postseason and give it another crack next year.
Yeah. All right. Let's as more and more NBL signing, I know there's a few that we've missed, but as more and more come to fruition and teams start to form, we'll talk more about that in the next few weeks. I've got so Shane Hammerhill is going to be coming on the pod, as well as Ryan Brokoff, former Dallas Maverick, played at Southeast Melbourne Phoenix as well. There was one other, Paul Smith, Sydney Kings CEO, and Kevin White, former Wildcat, interested to hear his take on a few things that have been happening recently. So we will be still covering the NBL over the next little while as much as possible, and as things come up, obviously we'll talk about them, but we're going to try and pivot to chatting to some people that were, you know, obviously directed in the league to get their take on a lot of stuff, and which is really fun. We've had Anthony Zrimic,
nice pronunciation recently, again. Yeah.
So you can go back and listen to that one if you haven't. And that was just a good general chat, you know, about his story and the some of his journey going from college to the NBL. So keep listening in. We'll cover some NBL stuff, but let's go to the NBA now. All right, let's just talk about the Dallas Mavericks. Let's just do it for a sec. At one point in time, I thought we were pushing for the fourth seed in the Western Conference to get a home playoff run. Home playoff series. Currently sitting outside the play-in tournament, so like not even going to play in the playoffs. Had a horrible run since Kyrie Irving's come in. Luka Doncic just like don't even think he wants to play basketball anymore. To be honest, like could not. That's facetious, but like our star player just looks disinterested, doesn't want to defend. He's got things going on. The media have been speculating about his relationship with Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving apparently was going to explore Miami at one point. Then also his rumblings that he wants to stay with the Mavericks organization. Mark Cuban's come out and said that Jalen Brunson's dad was the reason why that Jalen Brunson didn't sign with the Mavs, even though they had the opportunity to re-sign him. And then apparently they never really had an opportunity to re-sign him. So he's like going back on all these things he's been saying. There's no chemistry. Everyone hates one another. That's the Dallas Mavericks right now. And I'm just... Honestly, I looked at the game this morning, and they beat the Sacramento Kings, which is great. That's a good win. Like now, it's nothing to, you know, the Kings have locked away the second seed in the West Conference or something. First time they've made the playoffs in 16 years.
16 years. They light that beam, and they've booted you out of the playoffs again.
Exactly. We beat the Kings this morning. I was like, I don't care. Couldn't care less anymore. There's nothing to live for anymore. So that's what's happening with the Dallas Mavericks. We don't need to talk about it anymore.
Here's my question for you as a Mavs fan.
All right, go on. Let's talk about it.
We've got all night. I've got plenty of time. Obviously, now that Luka Doncic draft pick, they got him in. Awesome. Home run. Apart from that, in the past 5 years, have they done anything from a front office point of view that you can point to as being a good move?
Drafted Jalen Brunson. And that was great. That went sour. They ruined that. Josh Green, the draft of Josh Green, that was good. And he's proving to be like, he's had a rough couple of weeks, but he's shown that he can do, like, he's not a.
But they're asking him to be the number one defender, which he's not. Again, because I actually.
Not right now.
I had a good giggle listening to old Marky Mark this morning talking about everything that went down at the franchise. And I sat back and thought about it. I'm like, dude, come on. You've just made all these mistakes over the past few years. And I think the funniest thing is this isn't even Kyrie's fault. I can't put any of this blame
on Kyrie. Kyrie's been awesome.
He's been great.
Awesome. He's led like 20-point comebacks in the fourth quarter by himself. He's gone on like 15-0 runs by himself. He's like clutch. He has been like, he's been getting around younger players, and you can tell that they're like genuinely respect what he's saying. He's not out there just like faffing about. Like Kyrie has been 100% not the problem. Luka has, I saw he took the blame. He's like, I'm the reason why we're not making the playoffs. Like, I've played basketball for 4 straight years. I've had 4 weeks off in 4 years. I'm just not really defending because I'm wrecked, basically. So the team is not built well.
Correct, and that's the biggest thing. Luka deserves some blame because I'm one of these people that think he can be a top 10, 15 player of all time if he gets his stuff together and finds the right teammate. Players of that ilk should not be missing the playoffs, let alone missing a play-in spot and finishing 11th in the conference. So there's some blame that needs to be laid at Luka's feet. Jason Kidd is speaking like a man that wants to get fired and take his payday and go
I'm
to Cancun.
Sick of Jason Kidd.
Welcome to Milwaukee Bucks fans' life. I think Kidd has 2 good years in him, does some good things, and we're seeing it again. He's burning out. And while there's some blame there, I agree, they're just not well run. Because you look at everyone down, Kyrie's doing his job, Green's doing his job, Christian Wood is doing his job. He's a seventh or eighth man. He's doing all he can. But they just don't have any wing depth. And again, I've joken about this a couple of times with you, but they've got one chance to make a miracle trade over the next 12 months. And if they can't pull that off, then the rebuild's going to begin because players like Luka do not stick around for this. And I can see the look on your face.
So this is what I think happens. I think Kyrie re-signs with the Mavs. Like you've said in the past, I think they're probably the only two that want each other. I think Kyrie has said like he's going to explore his options, but every player says that. Like I heard Dirk say that in his career. I'm not going to sign an extension. We're going to explore our options in a free agency. It doesn't mean that they're going to leave. It just means they don't want to give leverage to the team that they're with at the moment. If they go, yeah, I'll be here next year, then the team's like, great. I'm not. Well, we don't need butter with you. So of course, like Kyrie is saying the right things. He's been doing all the right things. So I think Kyrie resigns. I think they retool a bit. There'll be some pieces to pick up from Golden State Warriors because I think they'll blow it up after they don't do anything this postseason. I think they go, we had a really good run, and now let's try and get some picks for players. So maybe we could cash in on that. I don't know. I really don't know. The Mavericks in 2011 built this really good team and caught lightning in a bottle. But apart from that,
they've done that.
They haven't shown that they can build a championship side. And so I've lost faith
as well. And again,
yeah, that was because of that. Yeah. Because you know why? Because Mark Cuban knew things that other people didn't know.
Tyson Chandler walked out
the
door.
And the collective bargaining agreement was going to change and the cap was going to change. And don't worry, like you guys will see this. Honestly, if they kept them all around, they probably could have been in the Western Finals again that season. Anyways, I'm not going to just complain for half an hour.
So one last question on this. What would you rather happen, them to win their last two games, sneak into the play-in, or to lose the last two games and end up with a 5% chance to get a Wimby? What would you prefer?
I honestly would rather them win and get into the play-in.
Turnaround, will you get some momentum and some excitement if they sneak into 10th place?
If they win the first round of the playoffs, I'm putting $1,000 on them to win the championship because
I'll give you those odds. You can give me that money.
I'm a big believer in like Cinderella stories. Like if there's an opportunity for one to happen, like I'm getting around it and I'm fully believing that it's going to happen. But look, because the thing is, if the Mavs fall out of the top 10 draft, like they give their pick to the Knicks. So if they're going to tank, they should have tanked. I mean, they've been bad for a long time now, but if they're going to tank, they really should have committed to doing that a long time ago. They can't beat the Kings in a meaningless game just to give their pick to the Knicks. Sorry, it's just I'm frustrated.
If they can get that 10th pick, they can at least use that to trade this offseason again. As I think I've told you, I think they're screwed. But again, maybe this gets turned around. And looking at the standings now, there's a chance they could be playing the Lakers in the play-in to get into the playoffs. That is some drama and some entertainment I would sign up for. Imagine Luka going into LA and the drama and the noise and the Stephen A. Smiths of the world going nuts as that game takes place. Maybe let's hope that happens.
The thing is the Lakers just all of a sudden look good, and all of a sudden like LeBron being shut down for the season for, you know, potentially career-ending injury has now been turned into like, oh, no, he was fine because like they got a sniff at the playoffs. Anyways, I'm just a bit of a fan of because of a multitude of things. Your what about your 70? Because your pick was 76ers.
It was Milwaukee. No, I'm Bucks. On the Bucks train.
And they're still just doing their thing.
They're doing their thing. They've got the best record in the league now. They've got that number one seed wrapped up. And I think,
why has Brook Lopez all of a sudden become the best big man in the game? Like, he's been insane. Consistently good for a long time. But I watched a game, like, it's probably going back a bit now, maybe 3 weeks ago. I think he had 10 blocks. And I watched him. And it wasn't just like he was getting these like cheapies. He met like six different people at the rim and he slammed the ball into the backboard. He was running down the floor, hitting threes. Like, what is this? Where does he come from?
You've been in the NBA locker rooms. One of my favorite stories of being in locker rooms is the first night I went to Milwaukee and you saw Giannis next to Brook Lopez side by side. And these guys are 7 footers. You can appreciate that on TV. But until you see the size of these men up close in person, they're mountains. And I couldn't even imagine driving into them in a practice game, let alone going at the rim in an NBA setting. And again, I don't think our listeners want to hear like the analytics breakdown of the numbers and the ins and the outs. Just go watch some YouTube videos and see what Brook Lopez does inside. And then down the other end, he's turned into the Steph Curry of big men. He can shoot 40% from beyond the arc. He's going to win Defensive Player of the Year. And just it's a front line with Giannis. That's why I picked them at the start of the year. I just do not see anyone beating them in the East. It's funny. There's talk about Embiid winning the MVP at the moment, which is had a great year. For mine, Giannis is still the MVP, the best player in the world. And the Bucks can rightfully point to Brook Lopez as someone that can help slow down Embiid should they meet in the playoffs. No one's going to stop Embiid. But with Lopez, the Bucks have someone that can drag him out at the other end and shoot those three ball. And Brook Lopez is one of the only guys in the NBA that can match Embiid size for size. So, yes, I like my pick of the Bucks. I think they're going to make it through to the finals. The matchup I'm secretly hoping for is a rematch from a couple of years ago. I hope Phoenix can get their stuff together. We see Durant get back to the NBA finals and go against Giannis. Because for mine, that's shaping up as the best final series we could get because the West is a bit of a mess. So who knows who's going to come out of that? Might be your Dallas Mavericks. Who knows? But I'm hoping Durant can get fit and we can actually see some high level of basketball from him in the postseason without injuries or Kyrie Irving derailing his playoff team this year.
Oh, gosh. I'm sorry. I just dropped my phone trying to look at Brook Lopez.
And Dallas's title hopes just are resting in peace.
Yeah. Crashing. It was against the Nets. It was 4 weeks ago against the Nets. He got 9 blocks. I don't think anyone picked this to happen.
No. A decade ago, he was a low post interior big man that couldn't shoot the three. I don't think – I looked this up a few months ago. I think he only shot one or two threes his first 6 years in the NBA. He was a back-to-the-basket plotter, a big man, someone that looked like a vintage player from 20 years ago, and he's just turned himself into this incredible shooter. And the funniest thing was he was on the Lakers team when they signed LeBron James 5 years ago.
Yeah, that's
right.
And
he snuck off to Milwaukee, got like a veteran's minimum for $3 million a year. And by the time his contract's done, he's almost going to make $100 million after that when no one in the NBA wanted him. So it's an incredible story.
If only we had, I don't know.
Do the Mavericks want to try for Luke Travis?
What's DeMarcus Cousins doing these days, honestly?
Hey, we podcast with Greg High once a week. Get him on a plane to Dallas. He'd be their second best defender.
I would love him to just be around Luka and just give him like a bit of a kick in the ass. I feel like Greg could be that guy that would be like doing like jumping on the – like grabbing loose balls and taking charges and like screaming at Luka to do something. Like he'd get yelled off the court, I'm sure. Like Greg wouldn't be welcomed back. But I reckon we get this season done as a Mavs fan, as a basketball fan in general. Let's get this season done. I'm just over this NBA season. It's too long. It's way too long. Way too many games. Let's get this season done, dusted, whatever. Give the championship to the Bucks, the Suns, whatever. Just get it done. Let's start fresh. And we'll see what happens. All right. Well, let's I'll leave you alone from, you know, my demise and just pouting.
We'll step out of the psychiatry room and you can hand me the pillow back.
I think we need to call
this episode like the Texas Massacre or something
because
falling apart.
Something bad. We will be back next week. I'm not sure who will be on, but I've got a few names lined up. But we'll put a post out when it gets a bit closer and we'll get some questions for them. Hello at Backchat Basketball. Hello at backchatpodcast.com.au is where you can send us an email for some questions. We always get good questions through the people that send them through, so keep sending them in, as well as backchat_basketball on Instagram. There's a good way to send us messages. Ben, you're going to what are you going to do for the maybe we should get to, we should maybe do one more episode when the finals, the playoffs start, and we can, you know, talk about how good the Bucks are, and I can complain more why the Mavs aren't there. But three games left, or two, depending on your team at this, by the time this comes out. Just ready to, for this season to be over.
Go get yourself a hot cross bun, have some chocolate this weekend, and just pretend basketball doesn't exist. I think you need it for the soul.
For sure. I'm going to get some Lurpak butter because it's like, for some reason, just so good. And just heat up a hot cross bun and put it on there. I learned that at the Wildcats when I was working there. Lurpak hot cross bun. Maybe that was the secret to their success while I was there. Yeah. Ben Malice, what's your handle on Twitter?
It's just at Ben Malice. So creative. It is. I thought a lot about that. I thought I'd trick the people, but give them a nice easy one to track me down with.
Yeah. I've been tweeting a lot recently about West Coast Eagles, and this isn't a football podcast, but
maybe we need a Jimmy podcast.
That's honestly the way that I feel about the Dallas Mavericks. Don't even get me started about my feelings about the West Coast Eagles. My heart's getting ripped out. I've got no sports team to back. Like, I've got nothing to go for.
So it's all right. I'll carry the wins. My Leeds United team had a win during the week and we're bouncing back. So if you want some good vibes, get on the Leeds United train. We're going for the wonderfully mediocre 13th place in the EPL, which is what we need.
That's
which
great.
Means we avoid relegation, which I will take. So, yes, the Leeds United squad is holding it down for the Backchat Basketball Podcast.
All right. Well, shout out to the Leeds United fans for keeping us up and about. We'll chat to you next week.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
That episode from Backchat Studios lives on the Acast Creator Network. If you want to sign up as a patron or access all of our merch, head to backchatpodcast.com.au.